In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the disciples make a surprising request of Jesus. They say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." Now, I say that's surprising because these were Jews who had grown up being prayerful. The disciples certainly were men of prayer. So why would they make this request of Jesus? Well, perhaps it was because when they saw Jesus pray, it was different than anyone they'd ever seen. The way he talked to the Father, the words that he said, the attitude that he had about talking to God, it just was different. They just had never witnessed anything like that. And so their request was, "Lord, teach us how to pray." I don't think that there's any of us that haven't felt or don't feel somewhat inadequate in our prayers. I mean, we know as Christians that God hears our prayers. But there are times when I think all of us wonder if we couldn't make our prayer life better. If maybe we couldn't say it a little different. Well, here's where Romans chapter 8 comes in. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28, the passage that Corbin so capably read for us a moment ago, Paul acknowledges our neediness in prayer. But he says there's some good news. The good news is that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Notice the word in first word in verse 26 was likewise. Paul in this chapter, in chapter 8, has been talking about suffering and trials and temptations and problems and burdens and then he says, and likewise, he's still talking about these things. But what he says here is that the Spirit helps us in times of our need, that God knows what we need and that he wants to help us. Specifically, Paul says here that the Spirit helps us when we pray because he said we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Now, what Paul is not talking about here is what James speaks about in prayer in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, where he says there, "You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your own passions." Paul is not talking about motive. James is talking about our motive when we pray. Paul is simply saying that he's addressing our weakness, our inability sometimes to know what is best to pray for, how we ought to pray, or, as he puts it, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And I think about that sometimes. I think about, you know, what do we pray for whenever someone that we love is very seriously ill? Do we ask God to prolong their life? Do we ask God to make them well? Do we ask God to take them on and relieve their suffering in this life, even though it means that we'll no longer be with them here? And what about if that loved one is not a Christian? What do we pray for? What do we pray for when we pray for the church? Do we pray that God might spare us from persecution or trials, even though we were told in the scriptures that suffering strengthens us? Maybe we need strengthening. How do we pray for the lost? Do we pray that God will override their will if they are refusing to obey the gospel, to be baptized for the remission of their sins? What do we pray for? And what do you pray for whenever you're hurting so bad that you can't pray? Have you ever been there? I have. That's a pretty dark place. When the problems and struggles and heartaches and burdens of life just are so heavy on your heart that you just have a hard time even getting your mind to pray. Well, here's where the Spirit comes in. When we don't know what to pray for someone that's seriously ill, or how to pray for the church, or how to pray for the lost, or what to do when we pray when we're hurting, the Spirit comes to our rescue, Paul says. He says here, the Spirit intercedes for us in groanings too deep for words. What does that mean? What in the world does that mean? The Spirit intercedes with groanings too much for words. And it just means that we just don't know the God language. I mean, His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts so much higher than our thoughts. So how does one who is so limited in this finite mind and this finite body of ours, how do we talk to an infinite power? A God so mighty, so powerful. He speaks and worlds upon worlds come into being. How do you approach? How do you talk to a power like that? And Paul says, don't worry about it. In Philippians 4 verse 6, Paul says there, do not be anxious, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Our problem is that we pray timidly. We're afraid that we're going to pray for the wrong thing. Well, I have news for you. Sometimes you will. But as long as it's in the attitude of praying that God's will be done and not ours, the Spirit will intercept our groanings, our trivial words, and He will take them to God. So how does this help us? I mean, when the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words, how does this help? Well, in verse 27, Paul says this, "And he who searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Notice that Paul calls God the searcher of hearts. God knows your heart. God knows what we need. God knows He made us. Kind of like the time that Moses said to God, "Well, I don't know what to say." God's sending him to His people to deliver them out of the... And Moses is trying to make excuses. And he said, "Well, I don't even know what to say." And God said, "I made your tongue. I made your mouth. I'll put the words in there that I want you to say." God knows our heart. Kind of sounds like a scary thing, maybe. But not when you pray. God knows your heart. He knows your mind. And He knows the spirit, because they are inseparably one. And so He really knows what we need. But I want you to notice something very important here in this passage. It says that He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. If you are a child of God, you have this exalted and wonderful privilege. Paul said that God listens to the saints. One reason, not the only reason, but one reason that it is so important to obey God's truths, to hear these truths, to believe them, to repent of our sins, to confess that He is the Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins, is because we receive the Spirit of God. Because we have been given by God to His family the exalted privilege to pray. And to be able to absolutely know that the Spirit will take these words of ours and to translate them, intercede, an advocate, a translator with these groanings that I make into the language of God, who already, along with the Spirit, because they are this, are one, knows our heart, knows our needs. So He also says here, though, that the saints according to the will of God. That's the way we should pray, or we pray or should pray. We learn that from Jesus. This is one of the things that Jesus taught His disciples. To pray not my will, but thy will be done. The will of God, you know, and when we do this, when we pray, we're not trying to bend God's will to fit my will. And this is where we get so mixed up sometimes about God's answering of our prayers, or as we think, fail to answer our prayers because He doesn't answer it. Yes, we have this thing that as long as God's will is my will, everything is fine. But whenever God's will is not my will, then there's problems, and it's God's fault. But Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done, and not my will." So, what does this promise mean for our prayers? Well, first of all, it's an encouragement to pray. Here, Paul is simply saying, when you think that your prayers are not worthy, or you think your prayers are not getting there, don't quit praying. The worst thing to do whenever we find ourselves in the problems and situations of this life is to quit praying, to turn on God. Just because you don't know exactly what to ask as you ought doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray, because God's already taken care of that. That's what Paul is trying to say. To say in this Romans 8, he's trying to say, just talk to God. Stay in communication. Talk to God. God will honor your prayers the best way possible. Which means that he doesn't always say yes. He can say yes. He can say no. He can say wait a while. He can say I'll give you something that you didn't ask for. Or he can say I'll give you something better than you asked for. God knows what we need. But now this is where James comes in. You have not because you ask not. We say, well, if God already knows what I need, why do I need to? God wants to hear your prayers. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to share with Him. I think that we, maybe we as preachers, maybe we as teachers have, maybe we have done a misservice when we stress on trying to get it all just right. And maybe we've been responsible for even being a discouragement to some and to pray. But listen to me. If you pray in Jesus' name, and you pray from your heart, and you pray to God, and you pray in the spirit of His will be done and not yours, you just can't pray wrong. Now, some of you here, you have such an awesome way of verbalizing your prayers. Oh, I love to hear you pray. And I think as you're praying, I think, well, I wish I could say that like that. But you know, it's not the eloquence or the correctness of our words. We saw that in the story of the Pharisee on the corner, who stood up and prayed, "Lord, I am so good. I'm glad I'm not like the publicans and the sinners. I fast and I offer alms and I do this and I'm so good and I'm so worthy." And the old publican wouldn't even lift his eyes to the heavens, just said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, you know which prayer came to the ears of God, my Father? It wasn't the one that spoke so eloquently, but the one that prayed from his heart. You pray from your heart to God in Jesus' name with a spirit of thy will be done, and you just can't pray wrong. You just can't. But Paul says here, make your request known to God about everything that concerns you. And the Father and the Spirit will work out the details. And secondly here, what this promise means to us is that it's an encouragement to pray, but it's also an encouragement to pray boldly. Again, Paul is just saying here in Romans 8 that God wants to hear from you. And he wants to know what concerns you. He wants to know what's on your heart. Well, God doesn't have time for me. Who told you that? Who told you God doesn't have time for you? Well, this is just a big world thing. I think about all the people that are praying. And wait a minute. Do you think that you have to stand in line with your prayers? Do you think that God answers brother so-and-so because he's a little more worthy than you are? No wonder we struggle with our prayers. People, we have a Father that treats us like there's nobody else but you. When you talk to God, your prayers go to the throne of God like nobody else in the world is praying. Isn't that an awesome Father? If we can see God like that, if we can understand the awesomeness, the omnipresence of God in our lives, it'll open up your prayers. It'll give you a boldness, Paul said. Writer of Hebrews says, go to the throne of God boldly. And we can do that because Jesus died on the cross and paid a debt that we owed that we couldn't pay and redeemed us or brought us back to God and gives us that awesome and wonderful privilege of being able to pray. Douglas, pray in the morning, pray at the noontime, pray in the evening, pray all the time. Wherever you are, no matter what's going on around you, you have access to the God who created this world. Oh, what an awesome privilege. And so this morning, three things. Lord, teach us how to pray. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You learn those three things. You've learned exactly what God wants you to know about prayer, or what Paul was trying to tell us in Romans chapter 8. And so this morning, what can we do for you? How can we help you with your relationship with God? If you've never been baptized, could we do that with you this morning? Could we help you take that huge step to have your sins washed away in as a watery grave of baptism. And as Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, be raised to walk in newness of life. Can we do that for you this morning? If this world has become a little more important than it ought to be, and you see that, and you want to rededicate your life, your talents to God, can we pray for you and with you and help you with that relationship? If the burdens of life have been so heavy that it's taken your attention and your heart away from God, and you see now that only weakens you and not strengthens you, that your strength is in the Master, and only when you are serving Him can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you need your help of your family, your church family, that loves you, cares about what's happening to you. So whatever it may be, even as we sing this song this morning, and the words of it remind us that God is tenderly, lovingly, caringly calling us home. Will you come while together we stand and sing?